At Grainger, we're for the ones who specialize in saving the day and for the ones who've mastered the art of keeping business moving. We offer industrial-grade supplies for every industry with same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, all backed by real people ready to help. So you can get the right answers and products right when you need them. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today is Tuesday, July 14th. What to know today about the new announcements from some of the largest school districts in the country, their plans for the fall, and what the Trump administration has to say about it. Plus, millions of Americans impacted by an intense heat wave, comfort and cannabis foods flying off store shelves, and how Hamilton is still breaking records 5 years after its Broadway debut. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. More states are rolling back reopening plans and adding restrictions as COVID-19 cases keep surging around the country. First, there's California and New Mexico. Governors put more limits on businesses in both no more indoor operations in bars and restaurants. And it goes further in many California counties where gyms, malls, and places of worship will also have to close again. And in Oregon this week, the governor tightened up a mask mandate, requiring face coverings outside as well when social distancing isn't possible. And some new announcements from three of the nation's largest public school districts, Los Angeles, San Diego, and Atlanta. All of them said they'll start the school year online only. As for the largest school district in the country, in New York City, it's planning a few days a week of in-person classes with the rest going online, assuming the rate of positive COVID-19 tests in the city stays below 5%. In Miami, Florida, public schools are asking parents to vote on their preferences. Bottom line, the policies vary across the country, but it seems most will not be completely back to the old normal anytime soon. And that's all quite different than what the White House wants to see. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos repeated the message this week that she and President Trump want public schools to reopen in person and full time. She says even if schools decide on a mix of virtual and in-person learning, it puts families in a tough spot trying to find childcare. DeVos told CNN that if flare-ups happen, then they can be dealt with on a school-by-school or case-by-case basis. Some teachers' unions and the American Academy of Pediatrics both want to hear more specifics about that. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics has said it does support in-person classes, but in the past week, it put out a new statement adding some extra conditions. It said schools really need better recommendations from public health agencies, and they need more funding from Congress. Lawmakers do return to Washington this Friday, and the next coronavirus relief bill is on the top of everyone's agenda, so stay tuned. The White House has been questioning the nation's top doctors and scientists. For example, President Trump retweeted a post that accused the CDC of, quote, outrageous lies. Trump didn't add any comment to that tweet, so it's not really clear what the CDC may have actually lied about. At the same time, there seems to be an effort to undermine the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Over the weekend, the White House sent media organizations a list of comments Dr. Fauci made early on in the pandemic that turned out not to be true. A White House official told the Washington Post there are concerns about the number of times Dr. Fauci has been wrong about things. But others pushed back on that suggestion, saying instead some of his comments were taken out of context. And on others, Fauci just changed his tone once more data came out. Dr. Fauci was first appointed director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases more than 3 decades ago, and he's advised 6 presidents on global health issues. So the White House sending out this kind of list is pretty unusual. Fauci is actually still on the White House's own coronavirus task force. It's not completely clear why there's a push to question or discredit him or the CDC, but perhaps it's the different opinions President Trump and some of those federal health officials have been putting out to the public. The Washington Post reports Dr. Fauci and President Trump haven't actually spoken since early June, but at least for now, Fauci is still part of the Trump administration. The U.S. Supreme Court just cleared the way for federal prison inmates to be executed. The justices voted at around 2 this morning. Prisoners haven't been executed on a federal level for nearly 2 decades. That was supposed to change yesterday until a federal judge stopped an execution, saying the government's protocols posed a severe pain risk. But the Supreme Court gets the final say and is now letting the executions happen after all. In a divided 5-4 ruling, the more conservative justices argued the particular lethal drug to be used has been shown to work without incident. Well, tens of millions of Americans are dealing with a pretty dangerous heat wave. The past couple of days, heat advisories and excessive heat warnings were in place all across the South, from Southern California to the Florida Panhandle. And there's potential for even more hot weather this week. In fact, AccuWeather says temperatures might end up breaking records set back in the 1930s Dust Bowl era. California's notorious hotspot, Death Valley, has already hit 128 degrees this week. That's only 1 degree shy of what experts say is likely the hottest temperature ever recorded on Earth. And it's only one small part of the brutal heat wave. ABC News reports in places all across the South where the temperatures are hovering right around 100, humidity is also high. So the feels-like temperature is more like 115 in several states. Forecasters say the heat wave will eventually start to move on by the end of the week, but then it will start affecting people in the mid-Atlantic, like in Washington, D.C. More news ahead, but first, thanks to our sponsor this week, HelloFresh. Whether you're in a recipe rut or want to avoid another trip to the grocery store, HelloFresh is here for you. I'm always so impressed with the meals. They're easy to make and always delicious. We've enjoyed meals here at our house, like chicken cheddar fajitas with bell pepper and homemade lime crema. And there's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and family-friendly recipes every week. Plus, the high-quality ingredients lead to a super flavorful experience every time and without the hassle. I mean, there's a reason HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. So cut out the dinner planning stress and get fresh, pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. Before you know it, you'll actually enjoy cooking and getting dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes or even 20 minutes with their quick recipe options. And skip a week whenever you need. Just go to HelloFresh.com/80newsworthy and use the code 80newsworthy to get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box. Again, get a total of $80 off, including free shipping on your first box when you go to HelloFresh.com/80newsworthy, 80newsworthy, and use code 80newsworthy. Now back to the news. Well, today is Bastille Day. The French holiday celebrates an uprising that helped usher in the French Revolution. Every year, it's celebrated across France with festivities including fireworks, parades, and parties. And although some of the events will go on, they'll be toned down this year because of the pandemic. The receipts are in, and it's clear Americans are doing a lot of snacking during the pandemic. PepsiCo says its snack sales spiked 7% in the second quarter of this year. The company is behind favorite comfort foods like Tostitos, Cheetos, and Doritos, and even oatmeal products. And that's not the only type of snacking seeing a spike right now. The New York Times reports pandemic anxiety combined with concerns about vaping have led to more sales of weed edibles. More than a dozen states even consider cannabis stores and medical marijuana essential businesses along with pharmacies. Though some health experts do urge caution since edibles have been linked to increased ER visits in states like Colorado. The FDA again expanded its list of potentially dangerous hand sanitizers. In total, it's now flagged nearly 60 varieties because all of them could contain methanol. That's a toxic chemical also known as wood alcohol, and it should never be in hand sanitizer because it can make people seriously sick. In fact, the FDA found that many listed a correct safe active ingredient on the label, but when tested, it actually had methanol. All on the list appear to be made in Mexico. The FDA first flagged 9 last month, but since then, the number jumped to about a dozen, and now it's nearly 60. So we put a link to the full list of hand sanitizers in question in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com under the episodes tab. Pro football players might be sporting a new look this season. The NFL unveiled face shields built to prevent the spread of COVID-19. To design them, the league worked with Oakley, the brand known for making sunglasses. They came up with shields made of clear plastic with small breathing holes. They're meant to lock into players' helmets. However, these face shields aren't mandatory yet. The NFL is still negotiating safety protocols with players, so all 32 teams will get to test them out in the coming weeks, and then it will be decided whether they're practical enough to add them into the required gear. Stay tuned. We have an update for you about the actress who starred on the show Glee and disappeared last week. Tragically, Naya Rivera was found dead in a Southern California lake yesterday, 5 days after her disappearance. Remember, authorities say Rivera and her 4-year-old son were on a boat trip when she likely went under. Now they have a few more details. They apparently both got out to swim, but Rivera wasn't wearing a life vest and accidentally drowned. The boy told investigators his mom was able to boost him back on the deck of the boat just in time. The announcement of her death comes exactly 7 years to the day that her Glee co-star Cory Monteith died from a drug overdose. Some of their cast members got together at the lake and were photographed holding hands along the shoreline. Well, the Broadway musical Hamilton has yet another achievement to celebrate. The show's cast album has hit number 2 on the Billboard 200 albums chart. That's its best ranking yet. Plus, Forbes reports it's the highest charting cast album since the original cast recording of Hair in 1969. This is pretty remarkable considering Hamilton premiered on Broadway more than 5 years ago. Of course, the new interest is likely happening now since a recorded version of the musical dropped on Disney Plus over the 4th of July weekend. So plenty of people are now watching it for the first time. And that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. And thanks to everyone who is voting for us in the People's Choice Podcast Awards. If you haven't yet, just head to podcastawards.com, enter your email, and choose The Newsworthy in two categories, People's Choice and News and Politics. Again, just go to podcastawards.com. There's a link in the episode notes. Vote for The Newsworthy in those two categories. We are so grateful for your support. All right, we'll be back with much more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.